Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a wonderful medley of songs that talks about the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ, sung by Greater Vision. I hope you enjoyed that beautiful medley of songs. Thank you so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I'm going to be concluding the message titled Overwhelming Rebuke that we began at the beginning of this month of April. And then next week, you're going to be listening to a sermon by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, who founded the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you will enjoy that and look forward to it. This weekend, April 21st through the 24th, I'm in revival meeting at Cedar Street Church of Christ and Christian Union in Portsmouth, Ohio. Then I'll take a few days off, and then May 3 and 4, Pastors and Mates Retreat with the Congregational Missionary Church and the Free Methodist Churches in West Virginia, Canaan, West Virginia. And then start revival services on May the 5th through the 8th at the Congregational Missionary Church in Stonewood, West Virginia. I do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these services. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience today. And I pray that you would meet the need of that person that might be listening who is struggling spiritually, that person who needs a physical touch. I pray for a divine touch upon their body right now. I want to thank you, Father, for these radio stations that carry the program, and many have carried this radio ministry for over 40 years, and I thank you for their willingness to do that, and I pray that you would bless the churches as they gather over this weekend. We're now in the aftermath of Easter, looking forward to Pentecost, and I pray that these will be great days for the church. Bless the pastors as they stand and preach to their people. We thank you for all you've been doing and all that you will continue doing. I pray it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. As always, I need to remind our listening audience, in case there is someone who's listening for the very first time, this has always been a listener-supported, faith-based radio program. And if you could help us out with a gift, it would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the PayPal or Venmo tabs there. Thanks so much. I trust the program will be a blessing to you today.
the childish, babyish, immature person that's dull in the Word of God, always backing and filling, always coming to the altar for the same old thing, because they've never exercised their spiritual mind and allowed God to give them victory through His Word over the things that this world throws at them. I don't think I could emphasize a truth any more than what I'm sharing with you tonight. This is a vital truth. And the reason it's a vital truth for the church, and revival, by the way, it's for the church. We want sinners to get saved, and we hope some will come. But revival is for the church. It's for good people. The issue here tonight is not good and bad. We're all good people. The reason spiritual dullness is such a problem and can be such a problem, and spiritual growth and maturity is so essential, is simply because if we choose to stay in a non-growing spiritual state, become just placid, at ease, come to church, go through the motion Christians, then here's what will happen. It will keep us from getting around to the real significant business of building the kingdom of God. Things that are not essential will become essential. Case in point, this happened in my church in Nashville. The story's a bit dated. I was in my office one day. I had an office off the platform there in that sanctuary. Our sanctuary is about the size of your two center sections here. A little office off the side of the platform, and I sensed that there was somebody in the building. So I got up out of my chair and came back through the sanctuary and walked out into the foyer. And there stood one of the few older couples I had in my congregation. And I greeted them. They'd been like parents to me when I moved into the church. They'd helped me move into the parsonage. They're wonderful people, very kind to me. And I was so thankful that they were there. But I walked out there that day and I saw them and I said, "Well, hey, how are you doing?" And I asked them, I said, "It's the middle of the week, middle of the afternoon. Why? What brings you to church?" I saw him back up toward the doors that led outside. She took a couple of steps toward me. And this is what she said to me. With a stern look on her face, she said, "I need to talk to you about something. I always hated it when my members said that to me, because you never knew what was coming next." I said, "All right. Let's talk." This is what she said. Like I said, the story's a bit dated because of the way we do church in these days. But nonetheless, this is what happened. She said, "Every time I walk into this sanctuary, I smell coffee." She was right. She did. The reason she smelled coffee, our sanctuary had Sunday school classes down either side of the sanctuary. Two classes were closed off and had doors on either side. And two classes up at the front were larger and had sliding partitions. They were there for overflow. The few older adults that I had met over here in this particular class, and they pulled the sliding partition closed on Sunday morning. Over here were the young adults, my growingest class in the Sunday school department. So much so that there was no room for them. I mean, they couldn't all get in there. They'd have to take chairs and pull them out into the sanctuary and have Sunday school. And when they'd come to church on Sunday morning, they would crank up the coffee machine and they'd have their Maxwell House coffee. And they'd have donuts. And they'd have Sunday school. So I knew she smelled coffee. I smelled coffee when I'd come to church. I tried to disarm her. I said, "I know where you're coming from. I grew up in a very conservative church. Back when I was a kid, my dad was the pastor of a Pilgrim Holiness Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. And it's that I can remember that you didn't dare take any food or drink around the sanctuary when I was a kid. I mean, I'm here to tell you, we had dinner on the ground. We didn't have fellowship halls. When you had dinner on the ground, it was on the ground. You had saw horses and pieces of plywood on the saw horses, and you had funeral home tents to cover up the tables where you put all the food, and you stood outside and hoped it wouldn't rain while you had dinner on the ground." Now I can remember those precious saints of God coming up to me and saying, "Elaine, don't you take that food into that sanctuary. That's where God lives." Or something to that effect. So I thought, maybe that'll disarm her and she'll understand. I get where you're coming from. Well, she wasn't at church the next week. I called her. Missed you last week. You okay? Thank you for your call. Hope to see you next week. Appreciate your interest. But she wasn't there the next week. So this time I went to her house. She invited me in. We had some chit-chat, and then I said, is everything all right? You hadn't been there the last two Sundays, and you hadn't been sick. Everything okay? She said, well, you know why I hadn't come. I said, no, tell me. She said, I hadn't been back because you wouldn't assure me you'd stop those young people from having that coffee and I wouldn't have to smell coffee when I came in church. I said, can we talk about this? I said, you want me to go into that class? Young adults who come to Sunday school every Sunday, most of them. She didn't come to Sunday school. I said, you want me to go into that class of young adults? And many of them come Sunday night. We had Sunday night services in those years. I said, most of them come Sunday night. She never came Sunday night. Do you want me to go into that class of young adults who come on Wednesday night, bring their kids? We have Wednesday worship and choir rehearsal and children's program. She didn't come on Wednesday night. But you want me to tell them that I've got a lady who doesn't like the smell of coffee in the sanctuary when she comes on Sunday morning. So you're going to have to turn off your coffee machine. You can't do it anymore. I said, let's do this instead. Understand, folks, she was a lovely lady. I wasn't trying to be unkind, disrespectful in any way. I was trying to reach her heart. I was trying to reach her mind to help her to think deeper than she was thinking. And I said, let's do this instead. When you come this next Sunday, and I said, I hope you'll be there, and you happen to smell the coffee, instead of it putting you off, why don't you just bow your head? Say, Lord, you're blessing our church. We're growing. You brought all these young couples, got all these babies, and we're growing. And you know how I was brought up? And how I remember those days when we didn't do things like this, but you're helping us. So help me just to tolerate this for now. I said, if you pray that prayer, I promise you that God will help you with this. And the day will come when we will have to enlarge this sanctuary. We're growing that fast, and we're going to have more sanctuary space, and we're going to build other buildings, and you won't have to worry about the smell of coffee in the sanctuary anymore. And you know, that's exactly what happened. We knocked those walls down on either side of that sanctuary and extended that sanctuary out and made it a sanctuary in the round. And then we built an educational unit on that side, moved the Sunday school classes into that educational unit. And then we built a children's worship center at the end of the educational unit. And that's where we put the coffee machines and all the refreshment area. And that's where people went and got their coffee and their donuts. People complained of being winded by the time they got there. Not really. That's just something I threw in because it sounded good. But she never came back. And it broke my heart. She never came back over something that had nothing to do with the destiny of a person's soul. And that's what happens, you see. When we're dull in the Word of God, it'll make us dull in our behavior. And things that really don't matter will begin to matter. And it'll prevent us, as the people of God, from getting on to the real business of building the kingdom of God. But then very quickly, to close this out, he says, there's one more characteristic of your dullness. He says, you're always the pupil and never the teacher. You should be discipling by now. We're always learning to a point. We should always be trainable, teachable. But there should also come a time when we can say, all right, now, God's equipped me. Now I'm mature enough. I can be used by Him to help build the kingdom of God. And we can step forward because we've matured to that point. And we're no longer just the pupil. We're now a pupil still, but now we're a teacher being used of God to help build the kingdom of God. And then He gives them a final warning. He says, if you stay in this spiritual dullness, dull in the Word of God, dull in your behavior, always the pupil, never the teacher, here's what's going to happen. He says, the first thing that's going to happen is that you are going to apostatize. That's what he says. It's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, who've fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. He is saying to them, Hebrew congregation, you've got to be careful. You better be careful, because if you stay in this non-growing spiritual state, it won't be long until you will just die spiritually. This will not be some light, superficial, backslidden condition where you come and you patch things up between you and God at an altar or in your bedroom or on your sofa. No. He's saying, if you keep this up, the roots of babyishness and dullness are going to come so embedded into your system that you'll think everything is all right. You'll come to church. You might even pay some tithe. You might even have some kind of memorized testimony. When all the while, nothing's going on. Dying from the inside out. He says, the second thing that's going to happen is you're going to end up re-crucifying Jesus Christ afresh. This is the thing that troubles my spirit, I guess, the most of this passage. That people like us could actually be a discredit to Jesus Christ. Because we've stayed in this non-growing spiritual state. See, the world doesn't bother me when they talk bad about Jesus. When they try to censor Christians, I don't like that, but that doesn't bother me because they're the world, and the world's that way. And we've got to be light to the world, and we'll do our best to be that. What troubles me are people who come to church and live out there like the world, talk like the world, act like the world. And the world steps back and know that you come to a church that believes a certain way, and they look at you and say, does everybody at your church act like that? Do all Christians talk like that, use that kind of language? Re-crucifying Jesus all over again. I'm glad I don't have to leave you there, because the Hebrew writer, I like to think it was the pastor, he finishes on a positive note. Chapter 6, verse 9. Even though we speak like this, we are convinced of better things of you. Things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. He'll not forget your love. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. Oswald Chambers, in that great devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, he writes this: the real danger in spiritual dullness is that we don't want to be stirred up. All we want to hear about is spiritual retirement from the world. Yet Jesus never encourages the idea of retirement. Worldliness is not our snare. Sin is not our snare. But spiritual wantoning, dullness is. Taking the pattern and the print of the religious world in which we live, never court anything other than the approval of God. It's quite a rebuke, isn't it? Strong language. I believe from a pastor who is concerned about his people. So I'm going to ask you to do something tonight that you probably didn't intend doing when you came to this first night of revival. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat in a few minutes and come and kneel or sit if you can't kneel, or even stand if you care to, and talk to the Lord about yourself. About yourself. But you're thinking, I know, I can see the wheels turning. But Lane, I've been in the church all of my life. Thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. But I'm going to ask those who have been around the church most all of their lives to come. Because you're dull. Right now, as you evaluate your own walk with the Lord, you're dull. But Lane, I'm in the praise team. Thank you for that. We need people who use their talent for kingdom business. We appreciate it. But I'm going to ask you to come. Because down deep inside, you'd have to confess, I'm not what I used to be. I'm dull. I'm going to ask some board members, leaders, to come.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.